Well, good morning. How we doing? Fine, good. I'm glad to hear that. This is good. This is bad. How we doing? Some of you don't know. You're still trying to figure it out. It's a holiday weekend. You're here, which I am very grateful for, by the way, and very honored to be here and to share. Typically, I only get 2 minutes to share with you. So we'll be really done very quickly today. So it is a privilege to be here. Dr. Fenton is with family, much ado time there. And John is actually in Honduras on a mission trip. I think it's Honduras. He's on a mission trip, and it's not Honduras, is it? Like I said, Ecuador. And Brent, thank you for stepping in and leading us today. If you would, take your Bible. I need you to open it for, we're going to be bouncing around in it and throughout it. And also in your worship guide, on the back side of your worship outline, we put in a notes page. I'm a firm believer that when we write stuff down, we retain more. And there's going to be a lot of information shared, even pictures that you can draw today. And so I want you to take this, and I want you, there should be a pen with you. And I want you to take this, and I want you to use this, because it's my goal that after today would be over, that there may be some things you want to reflect on this week and you want to come back to, not because I said them, but because they're in God's Word. And I think if we can extend what we learn on a Sunday beyond Sunday, we have a better chance of applying it throughout our day. As we get started today, won't you join me with a word of prayer, and then we're going to jump in. Father, we acknowledge your presence with us today, and we thank you for an opportunity just to open your Word, to see how it applies to our life, so that we can hear it and we can leave here different than when we came in. Not just for our own sake, but for those around us, those who you place us in ministry, in our neighborhood, in our workplace, in the things that we do for fun. And God, I just pray that we hear things today that will allow us to impact our world in a very different way. In my prayer, amen. Exercising your faith is the topic that we're going to be exploring today and we're going to be talking about today. Now, I know the temptation could easily be, well, hey, I've heard of faith messages a whole bunch. I've heard about the faith of a mustard seed. I've heard about because of your faith you were healed. I can hear this. And so my question to us would be then, is, or at least my challenge to you, is to not to check out. Because if it only takes the faith of a mustard seed to move mountains, then my question for all of us would be, then why aren't we moving mountains? Why aren't you and I living a life allowing God to work through us and in us that allows us to move mountains? And what does that even look like today? Why in the New Testament, when Jesus is encountering people, often, time and time again, we see the most powerful thing he said was, your faith is what made you whole. He also said, it's because of your faith, I'm going to heal somebody else. So why in this idea of faith do we not seem to be living a life that allows God to work through us with faith the same way? Even in Hebrews chapter 11, it's like an all-star list of faith. And there's one guy in there, Abraham, who gets more words per square inch than anybody in the list. So maybe you and I can learn some stuff from Abraham today that may allow God to work through us in a greater capacity. So if you would, turn to Genesis. Chapter 12 is where we're going to start. Now, I need to lay some foundation here, a little groundwork for where we're going to be. I'm going to show you a picture, and so this is where the drawing comes on your notes. Simple graph I want you to put in there. I want to explain this to you because I'm going to be referring to this throughout our message time today. Simply this, on the left you see kingdom impact, and let me define that for you. That is God's ability, or our ability, to allow God to work through us. So that's on the left. That means you and I in touch, in a relationship with God to the point to where he can use and work through us more today than he did yesterday, for simplicity. The bottom line is your spiritual lifespan. That's how long you've been a believer. God would not expect this for just your whole life. He would expect this faith to grow in your life from the time you surrender to him throughout your entire life. That's going to be your spiritual lifespan. So what we're going to compare are two things. The length of your spiritual life and the, I don't want to say usability because I don't even know if that's a word. Just the ability to God to work through you and to use you. Now what is interesting to me is Abraham didn't do anything big. But he got more words about faith than anybody else. He didn't part a river. He didn't heal somebody. So this isn't talking about how big God's going to use you. This is how much God can use you. Does that make sense? Okay, this means yes. This means no. All right? I'm a teacher more than a preacher, so I need interaction. All right? So I'm going to look for you to be walking with me through here. So our ability to allow God to use us is what we're going to look at as our kingdom impact. And so what we're going to be looking at here is trying to graph that. Now, ideally, this is what that would look like in our own life. So there would be some up and there would be some down. There would be times when your faith is growing. There would be seasons when it's kind of been stressed a little bit. Well, there's seasons. But ideally, it would be moving up, right? This means yes. This means good. Y'all are so good. This is great. Some of us, it looks like this. We had a moment, and we flatlined in faith. We haven't allowed God to stretch us beyond a simple point of just coming to church, reading our Bible, and kind of going through the motions. Now, do those things make a difference in our faith? Absolutely. But those things don't determine your ability to be used by God. Your surrender, your obedience, your faith is what determines how often and how much God can work through you. And so what I want us to focus on, a story we all know today, I believe most of us in here know the story of Abraham, and I want to focus in on and get us to the point where we're really dialing in to our Isaac moment. So if you look up here, God took Abraham on a journey of faith. He didn't start his faith journey at his Isaac moment. He started it way, way, way back here in chapter 12. Now, we also know, looking at chapter 12, that before that, there had to have been a relationship because of what God's about to ask him to do. But I want you to understand where I'm trying to get us to today is where you and I look honestly at God and we say, God, I want to be ready for my Isaac moment. I want to be so in tune with you. I want to so grow with you that I am ready for my Isaac moment when it happens. Now, some of us would say that that Isaac moment was a bad thing. I don't think it was a bad thing at all. I think it was the most pure example of intimacy with God that we almost have throughout Scripture. That this guy would give up the thing that means the very most of him without blinking an eye. That's faith. Maybe we can learn something from him today. So let's start here with this simple, well, let me back up and do this. We're going to use this exercise idea as we're going to grow some muscle. Now, I know it's no surprise to you looking at me that I know something about muscle. I get it. I'm with you. But there are a few things I want to lay some foundation on when it comes to muscle. Muscle can only grow if it's been torn, if it's been broken down, if it's been ripped. Now, you and I all know this. We know this for a fact, and I can prove it to you. Because on January the 1st of every year, you and I work out harder than we've worked out any other day. Right? You with me? This means yes. You say, man, this is the year. This is my year. I'm going to get in shape this year. I'm going to get my membership, and we've heard all the sales, and we're ready. And we go buy the new yoga pants, and we get the new shirt, and we're ready. And we work out hard on January 1st. Well, maybe January 2nd, right? Because we have a good time. January 3rd, what happens? We wake up and we can't move. Everything in our body hurts. The only thing that's moving without pain are our eyes. We sit there in bed and we just are like, really? This is so painful. Why? Because we've worked out muscles we've not worked out in a year. And we have torn them. And they actually bleed a little bit. But they grow back stronger. It's because of that pain, it's because of that breaking it down that our muscles actually grow back stronger. And God does that. God breaks our muscle, our spiritual muscle down with a little bit of pain often so that he can rebuild us. The other thing I know is this. If I can consistently work out a muscle, it'll be less painful. If I can consistently work out a muscle, it will be less painful to grow it. The other thing I know is I don't want to go from 10 pounds to 100 pounds in the same day. It would be much wiser and smarter to do 10, to do 20, to do 30, to do 40 on up and grow in my weight than it would be to just jump, because that's what I want to do. Now, this is what I believe about faith. I think there are moments in our life, because we've said no to God, that He forces us to take a big leap, because we've not allowed ourselves to go on a journey where He is actually wanting to prepare us. Because God's desire is that we all have that Isaac moment, but His desire is not to take us from way down here with no faith to have to live by faith up here, because He knows how painful that is. So let's see if we can look at Scripture, learn something from Abraham, and see what happens. Okay? Point one, it's hard to grow your faith inside your comfort zone. Write that down. That's good. That's good. Just write it on down. It's hard to grow your faith inside your comfort zone. Let's look at chapter 12 here. See what he says. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to a land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed by you. Verse 4. So Abram went. So Abram went. Now look back there. Don't miss it. The Lord said to him, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to a land I'm not even going to tell you. So imagine that. It's Monday morning. You just finished your quiet time. You just closed your Bible. You just finished your journal. You went in to see your spouse, said, man, did I have a quiet time today. It was a good one. I heard directly from God. He said, we're going to leave Birmingham. We're going to leave all our friends. We're going to go. I don't know where we're going, but we're going. That's where he told me. And what do you think your spouse is doing at this point? Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing, right? They're checking fever. They're seeing if you've been on drugs, trying to figure out what's going on. What do you mean? We're going to leave everything that we know. This is what I know. If your faith could grow in your comfort zone, it would already be growing. But often, we have to get outside of our comfort zone for God to grow us, for God to stretch us. That's why sometimes at work, he says, I want you to talk to that guy. And you say, my God, no, I don't even like them. He said, I want you to go talk to them. I'm not comfortable. That's not my spiritual gift. He said, I want you to go. That's why somebody at the golf course, you see every day, but you've never seen them. God says, I want you to talk to them. That's why somebody who's at your neighborhood, who you've lived there 15 years and you still don't know their name. He says, I know you're going to be embarrassed because you should know their name and you don't. He says, I want you to go across the street. I want you to talk to them. Not for today, because in 2 months, something's going to happen in their life I know is coming, and I need you to have a relationship with them so you can minister to them through their pain. I just need you to trust me. I need you to have faith that I'm right here. So I'm going to ask you to get outside of your comfort zone. I'm going to ask you to get outside of your gift set. I'm going to ask you to do something you would never do on your own, because I want to get you to your Isaac moment, and I can't do that with you way down here. So I want you to get outside your comfort zone a little bit, and then we're going to get outside of our comfort zone a little bit more, and then we're going to get outside of our comfort zone a little bit more so I can grow you, because I want to do great things through you. God wants to do amazing things through you every day. He's just waiting for the opportunity for you to say, yes, God. I'll be obedient. I know I don't understand. I don't even like this, God, but you've asked me to do it, and I'm going to do it. I'm not going to justify it. I'm not going to excuse it. I'm just going to be obedient to it. God's going to get you outside your comfort zone to grow you. Second, go to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15, we pick up a little later in the story. Abraham's gotten discouraged. He's not seeing God fulfill his word. He said back in 12, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to do all this good through you. I'm sure Abraham's sitting there going, "All right, God, look, I've done my part. You've not done your part." Let's see what we can learn here. Point number two, God can handle our doubts, but he doesn't need our interference. God can handle all of our doubts, but he doesn't need our interference. Let's see what happens here. Chapter 15. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward." But Abram said, "Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eleazar of Damascus." And Abram said, "You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir." Then the word of the Lord came to him, "This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir." He took him outside and said, "Look up at the sky and count the stars. If indeed you can count them," then he said to him, "so shall your offspring be." Abram believed the Lord. He believed the Lord. I think it's fantastic that you and I have a God that we can approach. You know, God can handle any doubt. God can handle any question you have. He's prepared for it. He's made room for it. Look out all the way through Scripture. Time and time again, some of his most faithful servants argued with him, doubted him. Jesus himself said, "God, if there's another way, can we figure this out?" God is prepared for that. All he is not prepared for is that you go somewhere else for the answer. We owe it to God. If God made the promise, if God issued the call, we owe it to him to go with our doubts. And we owe it to him to keep looking for the answer to our questions when we do doubt. So when we doubt, he's got no problem with it. He said, he called out the Lord, and the Lord replied. He reminded him what he was going to do. He put a little more clarity to the plan. And now Abram is starting to get some understanding here. So God has shown up, and God's kind of given some clarity to the plan. And then let's see what happens next. Because if God can handle our doubt, which he can handle our doubt, we just need to go to him with it. What he doesn't want, or what he doesn't need, is our interference. So let's go to chapter 16. Obviously, much time has not passed because we're just one chapter down the road, right? Just one chapter. God shown up and God told him this. Don't you think that would be good at least for four chapters? We're in chapter 16. Now Sarai, which is going to be Sarah, that's not her name yet. Abram's wife had borne to him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Now, guys, I want to put this in the same category. Let's be honest with it. Guys, we hear this verse very different than the ladies in the room hear this verse. All right? So let's just say, has your spouse or has your wife ever said, "How do I look in this?" Now, you're at a point right there. I mean, you're at a tipping point. You're trying to figure out, okay, all right, does she really want me to answer this right, or do I just need to answer this in a safe way? And the answer is always safe, okay? I don't care. Just understand that, men, all right? Always answer it in a safe way. Here's Sarah, and what Sarah is saying is, "I feel the burden. I feel like I have failed you. And I'm trying to come up with another way." And what she was really saying, men, is, "Are we going to be okay? Are you disappointed in me?" But what man did was interfere again. So let's keep going. See what he says. Abram agreed to what Sarah said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan for 10 years, Sarah, his wife, took his Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarah said to Abram, "You, can you see this? Finger waving, wife doing, you are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms and now she knows she's pregnant. She despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me." Ever been there? Only the men are laughing. I don't understand that. wow, is this primetime TV? Is this reality TV at its best? God, you may be too busy. I know you love me. I know you got things going on. You're probably answering everybody else's prayer requests, so I feel like I can help you out on this one. This is what I want, so I'm going to make it happen in Jesus' name. God doesn't need our interference. Did God need Abram and Sarah to come up with a plan? This means yes, this means no. What do you think? Did he need their help? No. So if God doesn't need their help, do you think he needs our help? He doesn't. He doesn't need you and I to get impatient with God's timing and interfere with our plan. Because typically our plan has to do with our want more than his plan. Because we can't see it. If you go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it defines faith. See what it says. It says this, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. We're not supposed to see all the answers. Do you think that if God had shown Abraham what his Isaac moment would have been, do you think he would have said, "Woo! This is going to be a great ride. You mean the very thing I want in life the most, you're going to ask me to kill it? Oh, this is going to be great." I don't think he had thought that at all. The same thing's true about you and I. God's not going to show us our Isaac moment because we may run from it. We can't handle it. We don't even have the ability to say, God's going to ask me to do what? So God says, I'm not going to show you right now because you're not ready to see it. I know that's what you want. I know that's what you think you want. I know that's what you pray for. God, before I die, I just need to see. Well, if you can see it, it's not faith related. God wants us to know, you don't need to interfere. I got this thing. It's interesting if you look at the end of 11, even the scripture says that none of these things that were promised to them, these men saw fulfilled during their life. It all happened afterwards. But if they had not been obedient in the beginning, God would not have been able to fulfill in the end. And yet we want to see, and because we can't see, we say, God, let me take this off of you, God. I got this. God says, that's not my plan. You need to trust. I got this. And God's going to walk with us as we kind of go through this. It's very interesting. When it comes to exercising our faith, we don't jump from 10 to 100. We don't go from benching 100 to 300. If you're going to be a marathon runner, you don't run a marathon tomorrow if you've never run. You work up to it, right? You set a goal and you move in that direction. And all God's asking us to do is to trust his plan. He understands there will be doubts along the way. But you don't have to worry about interfering. I got this. I got it. All right, so the first one, as we kind of get through this, it's hard to grow your faith in your comfort zone. Two, God can handle our doubts, but he doesn't need our interference. Number three, God's preparing you today for what he will ask of you tomorrow. God is preparing you today for what he's going to ask of you tomorrow. Go to Genesis 22. We kind of see the story completion here. We kind of know what's happened. Isaac has come along. Everything that Abraham could have wanted in life has now been accomplished. He wakes up for his next quiet time. And this is where we pick it up. Chapter 22. Follow along. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. Now, I just want to point out here, tests are always used to move you closer to God. Temptations are always designed to take you further away from God. If you're struggling with something, you're wrestling with something, all you need to do to determine who this is coming from is to evaluate, is this going to move me toward God or away from God. God's not going to tempt you to do anything that will take you further away from Him. He will only put things in your path that are going to move you closer to Him. I want you to go share Jesus with somebody. That's toward God. I want you to give sacrificially because you need to be obedient and trust me with your finances. That's toward God. I want you to go do and teach a class. That's to God. I want you to look at this site online. That's away from God. So where's that coming from? The enemy. I want you to not be a person of integrity. That's away from God. God will always test you to be closer to Him. The enemy will always tempt you to get further from Him. That's free. Didn't even plan on saying that. You can just take that with you. Let's keep going. So he said to him, Abraham, here I am. Which I think that's so cool. I think it's so cool that when God says, here I am, first Abraham, I'm right here. He was anticipating almost, it seems like. Then God said, take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain and that I will show you. And early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. Didn't wait. He said, you know, God, I need to pray for this a few days. He said, all right, a little late to travel tonight. First thing in the morning, we'll leave. Now, you have to understand, put into context what Isaac means to him. Do you think you're a proud parent? Do you think you're a proud grandparent? And God just said, I want you to give up what you love the most. Now, put that in your context. What do you love the most? Is it your job? Is it your status? Is it your things? Is it your family? Is it your career? Is it your spouse? What do you love the most? I don't know if that's going to be your Isaac moment or not, but I do know this. God's never going to give you something that He knows already you're going to put ahead of Him. So you have to ask yourself the same question. Would I, am I willing to give to God what is due God that He gave to me Himself in the first place? See what we can learn here. See what we can pick up. This is what I know. God knows that if something else in your life is more important than Him, then it will be your God and not Him. So God's going to keep you in check. God's going to keep asking, hey, I gave you this career, but I want to see if you're willing to give it up for me. I gave you your status and all your things. I want to see if you're willing to give it up for me. I gave you your family. I want to see if you're willing to give that up for me. Is your faith at that place? If not, if it's down here, God wants to grow you a little so you can get there, not a whole lot, and it'd be more painful. Another thing I know, if we go to verse 12. Go down to verse 12. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught in its horns. He went over, took the ram, and sacrificed it. This is what I love about this. When God gets you in your Isaac moment, you need to remember this, that God is in the ram providing business. God loves to provide a lamb in the thickets. What He needs is your obedience to get to the side of the mountain. If Abram had said, no, God, I'm not doing that, he would have never seen God provide the ram. God is in the ram providing business. Your job is to be obedient to get to the mountain. And God will take care of the rest. Another thing is God always keeps His promises. Some of you, somebody in this room needed to hear that, if anything else today. That God always keeps His promises. Even when we don't keep ours to Him, He will always keep His to us. God always keeps His promises. You don't want to miss your Isaac moment. It's going to be an incredible, incredible journey. Will it be painless? No. Will it be worth it? Absolutely. Ask Abraham. I got to believe. It's interesting that if you back up a little bit, when Abraham and Isaac left the servants, it's a really interesting word in there. He said, "We'll be back." Abraham knew God was going to provide. Because, not because of his Isaac moment, but for the 15 other moments he had already had with God, that God had provided. And God's going to do the same. So this, I want to leave you with a question, and then just three things to do, because it's not fair to tell you we should be faithful without telling us how we can grow that a little more. And simply this question. If your kingdom impact, God's ability to use you, is dependent, directly dependent on the level of faith that you have right now, my question is, how much kingdom impact are you having? If it's directly, if God's using you is directly dependent on the amount of faith that you have in God, how much is He using you? If you're uncomfortable with that answer, there's good news. Three simple things you can do to grow your faith, to get ready for your Isaac moment. Simply this. One, honestly, identify where you are with your faith. Own up to it. Say, God, it's not where I need to be. It's not where I want it to be. I look back. I don't want God to have to go from way down here to my Isaac moment in one jump. So help me today to figure out what I need to do here. So you need to be honest with yourself where you are on this chart. Second thing you need to do is you need to start growing in the little things so God can use you in the big things. So be obedient with what He has called you to do. We're smart people. You know what God's called you to do. The way He's asked you to talk, to act, to be in your workplace, where you live, the things that you do for fun. Be obedient, be faithful in the little things, and you'll be faithful in the big. And last thing is just start obeying. You know, we're smart people. We know when we're disobedient to God. We know when we choose our way instead of God's way. So He says, just obey. You want to see the evidence of faith is obedience. Will always be obedience. Three simple things that you can start doing today, and it'll grow your faith. So this is what I want. At the bottom of your note page, there's a little hashtag, my takeaway. The worst thing that could happen today is we come in here, we engage with our Creator, we hear a word from Him today, and we leave here, and that's it. During our decision time today, what I would like for you to do is, if you want to sing, I think you should sing. I think we had some great songs. If you listen to the lyrics, they were right in line with where we were going today. What I want you to do is I want you to be honest with yourself and say, what's my takeaway today? God, do I need to get outside my comfort zone? I've been fighting you on that. God, I have been doubting and I've not been coming to you. God, I've been interfering and man, it's time for me to back off. God, I know you're preparing me today for tomorrow and I just want to be obedient. What's your takeaway? God, I don't trust you and I need to learn how. Write down one of your takeaways and then work on it. And I think you'll find that God's going to stretch you a little bit this week. He'll tear that spiritual muscle down, and it might be a little painful. But boy, being here is going to be a lot more fun than just remaining here. Why don't you pray with me? God, we thank you for your word. It's just truth. Just honest. I thank you that you love us enough, just like we are, but too much to leave us that way. I pray that today we've heard your words, that they've come through clear. God, you want to help us experience a moment with you that's going to be incredible. May we do the things that we need to do just to grow our faith a little so that you can do a lot. In your name I pray. Amen. You may want to join our family today. We encourage you, if you want to do that, we're going to have a decision time here. but or you just may want to pray with one of us just because of what you're going through. You may be right now in your Isaac moment, and you just want somebody to come alongside you and just pray with you. We're going to be down here for that. But I want to encourage you, there are people beside you that you know and you love as well. Feel free to go to them and say, hey, will you pray with me? You know, this is an altar. This isn't a place to join the church. This is an altar, and we come before God, and you may need to come and kneel or just pray, or you may need to do that right where you are, not stand and sing. This is your time with the Father. Make it what it needs to be. So won't you stand, and we'll sing.